Ladies and gentlemen, I want you to give a warm welcome to probably the best ag chairman I've ever seen, Chairman Frank Lucas.
Thank you, Don, and of course, thank you also to Senator Justice. I spent 5.5 years in state legislature before I went to Congress, and in my days, we weren't in the majority as we are now in the United States House, or as Don and Ron are in the state legislature. It was one of those character-building experiences where you worked hard on good ideas, and if your idea was really, really, really good, then some member of the majority would turn up with your bill late in the session to pass it. And I learned a long time ago that old line about imitation being the ultimate form of flattery legislatively was entirely true. But I also learned a lot of other skills and things that are critically important. And the folks I serve with in Congress who have come from the legislative background before they got to Congress, I think actually are one step up. You learn the legislative process, you learn to work with people, you learn one of the most important political rules of all when you're in state legislature, because they're typically slightly smaller groups, slightly more intertwined, slightly more knowledgeable of each other, right, Don, Ron? You learn to tell the truth. You learn to keep your word. Those are two critical things in a legislative process. And if you ever break either rule, right, gentlemen, it's forever remembered. Now, I have the privilege of serving in the nation's capital, thanks to the voters of the 3rd Congressional District. Not everybody up there has figured out those golden rules from the state legislature, and that makes it a little more complicated. That was a weak attempt at humor, but nonetheless, the truth. I will have to tell you, though, with the challenges we face in this body, huge turnover and new membership, no money to work with, attitudes that are just almost beyond description, an administration that's probably the least engaged of any of the administrations when it comes to working with and developing relationships with Congress that I've dealt with in my tenure. In spite of all those things, we do have responsibilities. And on the House Agriculture Committee, our single biggest responsibility, of course, is the process of crafting a comprehensive 5-year farm bill, and a farm bill that addresses all the subject matters that are traditionally underneath it. Yes, that's the commodity title and conservation, rural development, ag research, farm credit, and oh, since 1965, the nutrition subject matter also. It's just the circumstances we work in right now are a lot tougher. And I like to remind people of this when we talk about where we are and where we're going in the farm bill process, to just think about how we got to this point, quite literally. The environment, the circumstances. Don't ever forget that we have a $17 trillion national debt. That's one huge pile of IOUs. And in the previous 4 years, the federal government's run $1 trillion deficits on an annual basis. So we don't have any money to work with. I had a constituent when I first became chairman of the committee pat me on the back and say, you worked your way to the front of the room, now you can do all these good things. I said, my friend, the challenge when we put this next farm bill together is not how much new money do I have to spend. It's not even how much money I've had to spend. It's how much less will we have to spend and still get the things done that are necessary. And especially in the House of Representatives, the focus on the deficit issue. So bear that in mind. No money, no old money, no new money. How do we stretch things even farther to still have effective safety nets? Another issue that affects the lay of the land in crafting a farm bill is the nature of the body. A huge turnover in membership in recent years. When we took the draft of the comprehensive version of the bill to the floor in July, the one that didn't quite get there, almost half the House had not been there to vote on, to debate, to consider, to learn from the experiences of passing the 08 Farm Bill. Half the body had no background experience. Now, if you're talking about 12-page bills, if you're talking about bills that involve single subject matter, maybe that's okay. But in 1,000-page bills with 12 titles, with subject matter that has evolved since 1933 legislatively, it's a challenge. Even half the Ag Committee, when I became chairman of the committee, was essentially brand new. You remember the 18 months, those of you who come to D.C. and work, you remember the 18 months we went through in all the hearings and all of the repetitive discussions, reinforcing senior members, but also trying to bring, as I affectionately call the underclassmen, puppies up to speed. Remember, puppies are born with their eyes closed, correct? And eventually they open them. There's a rhyme and reason to my phraseology. But 18 months, we opened a lot of eyes. And in the last session of Congress, a majority of my colleagues voted for a comprehensive farm bill in committee. We didn't get to the floor. But they, R's and D's alike, voted to get the bill out of committee. And I think would have been a force, a helpful force on the floor if we'd had an opportunity to go to the floor, but we weren't able to do that. So with a few more changes, we started over this time. Once again, a majority of R's and D's alike voting to advance the bill from committee to the floor. How often has that happened in the last 5 years on major pieces of legislation? But that changeover in personalities, people, individuals in the House, a big effect. And then I would offer you one other thought. And this is a fair, I think, observation about the leadership in the House, both R&D, majority-minority. If you think about it for a moment, about the only member of senior leadership in the majority or the minority who've ever chaired a committee, who've ever been responsible for passing a bill, is the Speaker. Now think about that for a moment. Everybody else, majority and minority, in the major decision-making roles, have never had the responsibility of achieving consensus within a committee, crafting legislation, working from historic past policy and custom, and trying to achieve goals. That makes a difference. It makes a difference if you've suffered through the process, the joy of putting a coalition together to make something happen. That's a challenge. And then I mentioned earlier, and I'll repeat again, the administration. The only time that they've really weighed in at the White House on farm policy was when in the supercommittee process they suggested cutting $33 billion out of overall farm bill spending, but not nutrition, out of the rest of the farm bill, in the supercommittee process and their budget submissions. Now, you could say you don't want to be engaged in the process, but when you're sending down numbers and you're saying 80% of the bill is off limits, no reform allowed, you are engaging in the process. But all those issues put together, where are we and how do we get to this point? I alluded to the fact that the committee in a bipartisan way passed a bill in the last session. Couldn't get to the floor. Maybe the votes weren't there. This session we started over. Some new faces, some changes in the committee. We put a coalition together. We actually increased the volume of our savings, the amount, $40 billion. That's a pretty big chunk of change to take out of an overall farm bill. But the committee understood that we had to achieve substantial savings, reforms, if we were going to have a chance on the floor. But I'll give the House Agriculture Committee credit for this. The decision that all parts of the farm bill would be subject to reform, that the savings would be achieved across the farm bill, that didn't necessarily have to happen. But the committee made the decision by their votes and their actions to do that. $20 billion we save out of nutrition. $20 billion we save primarily out of conservation and the commodity title. Yes, I know it's 80% nutrition, it's 20% everything else, but a 20-20 split's the best savings package, at least it's been offered in my time, when it came to making real reforms. Now, the committee's been chastised some on the nutrition title, but let me say this to you. The effort of the committee was to make sure that while we achieved reforms, that we marshaled the taxpayers' resources ever so carefully, we tried to make sure that no one who needed help would be left out. Or as I like to say, take one calorie off the plate of one deserving person who qualifies under the existing programs. That's why we went after automatic food stamps, categorical eligibility, $12 billion in savings. If you qualify, you're going to get the help, but you're going to have to go in and demonstrate your assets and your income, show you qualify. LIHEAP, heat and eat, an issue that's important to our friends in the Northeast. But remember, a number of states send out $1 checks to, in effect, trigger a month's worth of food stamp benefits. Some would call that mining the U.S. Treasury. What we propose in the House bill simply is, states, if you want to help your citizens, power to you. But put $20 skin in the game. Not $1, $20. Congressional Budget Office estimates that that would take a $10 billion annual expenditure and turn it into a $2 billion annual expenditure. That's where the lion's share of your $20 billion in savings came from. And yes, ending advertising of food stamps in the United States and outside the country. Did you know you advertise food stamps outside the country? House bill would end that. Now on the floor, when our package came up this summer, comprehensive bill, $40 billion in savings, and oh, by the way, in the commodity title, ending the direct payments, and realistically saying that because of the renewable fuel standard and the ethanol effect, that the CRP authorized acres should drop from 32 million to 24, which is where the market is taking a CRP anyway. That's caused me a little flack in some areas, but simple fact of the matter is it's a voluntary conservation program, and producers can make their decisions, and they're making their decisions. If you can raise corn, if the Lord gave you enough soil and enough rain, it's the rational thing to do, but we make those changes to reflect that. But when we went to the floor, the main debate and discussion was not so much the commodity title, and yes, we argued over AGI, and we argued over payment limitations, and we argued all sorts of stuff. We generally were able to hold the line there. But the most public debate was over the nutrition side, where in an open process, and leadership said quite fairly and appropriately that the farm bill should be handled as close to possible in an open process. We had 106 amendments offered, and we disposed of nearly 100 in one way or the other. That's when you know you've had a long day as a chairman, when you do 100 amendments in 2 days. The thing that got us on the floor was when 62 of my colleagues, with the majority of the body, of course, determined that our reforms weren't quite enough, and they passed amendments, and I, of course, voted for them. They were all very popular amendments, dealing with prohibiting felons with certain classes of felonies from drawing food stamps the rest of their life, a workfare requirement for able-bodied men and women without dependents. That's, what, 20 hours a month, something like that, they'd have to work to qualify for their food stamps, giving states a very explicit authority to do drug testing. I believe the phrase is you'd have to be clean to get your stamps. Really some major reforms. Now, the sad part was, though, that after all these reforms had been adopted, 62 of my Republican colleagues who voted to make my bill even better, or I should say the committee's bill, our bill better, they forgot to vote for it on final passage. If you are going to help me all the way. If you're going to blow in my ear, keep blowing, don't stop. This kind of affection is disruptive that I was subjected to on the floor. Now, see, guys, I can be polite when I need to be, and you know exactly what I mean. So we lost the bill on the floor. And it was one of those situations where, as each of the welfare reform amendments kept coming along, and the bill was getting better and better from an Oklahoma perspective, I was watching my liberal colleagues' faces become more and more contorted and distorted. But the whip counts that we'd worked on, which had us with enough votes to pass the night before, and even the morning of, still indicated we could get it done. With the challenges that were presented on the floor, the good reforms, we could get it done. But at the last moment, when that workfare language came through, and then it became obvious that a number of my colleagues who'd voted for all the reforms would not vote for it on my side of the room, the whip came screaming to me about what should we do? Now, there are times when, as committee chairman, in the most public of ways, you have to make some snap decisions. no chairman, matter of fact, no member of the United States House, or the other body for that matter, ever wants to lose on the floor. There is no more painful public experience than to lose your bill or your committee's effort on the floor. But I looked around and I assessed the situation and made the snap decision that I still had one opportunity to address my colleagues as a part of the motion to recommit before the final vote. And I decided to make, for two reasons, I decided to make an appeal to my colleagues to stand up and do the right thing, to demonstrate that we weren't as dysfunctional as the outside world and the non-members of Congress made us out to be, both the media and a lot of the activist groups. And I also made a political decision at the time that if the bill was pulled before final passage, there might not be another opportunity to vote on a farm bill, that there would be forces on both sides who would say, Ag Committee pulled it, Ag Committee's problem. Obviously, they don't have it. Obviously, we shouldn't worry about it. So I made the decision that we should go for it. And I gave the most impassioned discussion, explanation, a speech, debate to my colleagues on the floor that I could. And then the votes came rolling in and the dust settled in the fashion that it did. I knew that by considering that, we'd put the House on record. We would compel management in both bodies, who had big interests in different parts of the Farm Bill, to be responsible, to not step away. You know, my wife occasionally reads these magazines that have a little style orientation to them, and they talk about photo spreads. I never personally thought I would make a photo spread, but one of the D.C. publications the next day noted that after the Farm Bill went down on the floor, that as I stood in the well down at the bottom, because I'd worked to the last vote, as any good member does on a bill they care about, that this procession of people started coming by to express their sympathies. And the note was, it looks sort of like me standing in front of the funeral home after a funeral in a country community. Well, that was true. That was true. Within the next day, there appeared a series of photos taken from C-SPAN watching different members come by. I would tell you that's a damn poor way to get your photo spread, is after not quite getting your farm bill through. But that said, we came back 3 weeks later. I ran something that's not been done since 1965. Farm bill, farm bill. What a hell of a concept. Farm bill, farm bill. That passed on essentially a party line vote, I acknowledge that. But no matter what happens on the nutrition issue when we go back over the next 2 weeks, we have a conferenceable vehicle. You remember Tim talking about representative arms and the way the committee process worked, where he took an issue that was not in the best interest of rural Oklahoma, and he very carefully maneuvered it around to take what could have been a horrible piece of legislation and make it into something that was pretty good. Right, Representative? Pretty good. Well, think about the gyrations we've gone through on the Farm Bill. Yes, we didn't pass the first attempt at a comprehensive bill, but it made it possible to run a Farm Bill, Farm Bill, 11 of the 12 titles. We now have a vehicle to go to conference with. Yes, my majority leadership would like to consider a nutrition-only bill, which would have been, I think, this week, had we not become consumed by Syria, which now pushes it back a week or two, which then pushes back conferee appointments a week or two, perhaps to after the 1st of October. But we're in a position to move forward. That said, what's in the document we deal with now? Well, whether it's the $40 billion in savings that will be proposed, I suspect, in the next few days on the floor, next few weeks, or it's the version of the Farm Bill that's now passed which has zero nutritional savings, and nonetheless, if you look at the commodity title and at conservation, I think you've got a pretty good document. We preserve the core funding on crop insurance. What's the one issue that time and time again over the last 5 years that's constantly come up in hearings in the nation's capital, hearings when we're in the field, hearings when I'm with my colleagues in their districts, the public in my town meetings? You have to preserve that resource. And they're exactly right. Does that mean that protecting crop insurance and keeping that as a vital resource, a major portion of the safety net, secures it for the next 5, 10, 20 years? No. We will fight this fight in every annual ag appropriations bill. I believe we win this fight in the 5-year authorization bill, but you will have to fight with me every year to preserve those resources, because there's no other major pool of resources really left in the farm bill outside of the nutrition area. But we'll fight that fight, and we can win that fight. The conservation programs. Many people have looked at the number of programs that we consolidate down, we reduce to. They've looked at the change in acres and CRP. My simple response to you is, remember, CRP is still there. It is still in the House bill, a voluntary conservation incentive-based program. And, oh, by the way, look at the House efforts in that regard. Now, many of you know and have heard me say many times before that I come from a part of central west Oklahoma that was a part of the abyss of the Great Depression and the drought of the 1930s, subject to the horrendous drought of the early 1950s. And we were all subject to the horrendous economic conditions of 82, 3, 4, 5. So when I say that, understand, I was raised by, well, my grandparents were all young men and women with young kids going into the Depression. That's the most exposed part of your life you can be in economically. Both my parents started school in 1937. A horrendous time to be living in Oklahoma or the Southern Plains or even parts of Texas. My perspective as a member of Congress is I cannot make Mother Nature cooperate weatherwise. I have to talk to the Senate for that. But I can make sure that we do not engage in policy mistakes like the 20s and 30s that made that so horrendous, that we do not engage in the policy mistakes of the 70s and 80s that made that so horrendous. And remember, not all those policy mistakes were necessarily the ag. It's what went on in the financial community in the early 80s, the change in interest rates that added to the devastation of that experience. But I can, in my role as chairman of the House Agriculture Committee, work with my colleagues on both sides of the aisle to try to make sure that in this farm bill, laying down policy for future years, maybe generations, that we don't repeat those mistakes, that we don't set off a chain of events that will produce the hardship that my parents and grandparents went through, that my neighbors went through in the 80s. I tell this story, but in 1982, in May, just as soon as school was out, I was home. And there was a land sale not far from me. And my maternal grandfather, yes, my mother's father, and I went to the land sale. The last thing my father said to me as I left to go pick up my grandfather and go to the land sale, he said, "You keep your hands in your pocket, and you tell that old man to keep his hands in his pocket." Now, I didn't say that to my father's father-in-law, but we did keep our hands in our pocket. And the guy who wound up with the biggest chunk that day of property, which was a pretty reasonable set of assumptions at the time, a Vietnam vet, a guy who was leveraged to the max when he bought that property, and even more leveraged, I went to his sheriff's sale 7 years later. Now, I don't know how many of you have ever been to a sheriff's sale to watch one of your neighbors go away, but it is the saddest, most painful thing. It's horrible. Now, that made a huge impression on me. Number one, my father was right. If I had put my hand up and waved, I might very well have been underwater like my poor neighbor. But I did not. We cannot make the mistakes that have been made in the past, and that's what this is all about, I think, in Farm Bill policy. I know the outside groups, the pressure groups, the economic mercenaries say that there's no need for a safety net anymore. There's no need to be concerned about federal investment in agriculture, be it research, be it rural development, be it the commodity title, be it crop insurance, be it any of it. But they're wrong. They're wrong. They're the very people who say it doesn't matter who owns the companies that process our food. They're the very people who say it doesn't matter where our food comes from. They're the very people who give us fits over trying to provide a level of inspection in a lot of food types. But they're wrong. This country's been an exporter since colonial times, no matter which part of the country your ancestors might have been in, no matter which colony you were part of. We are agricultural producers. It is the wondrous advantages given to us here in different regions and different commodity groups. We have to continue those traditions, and to do that we have to practice state-of-the-art agriculture, and we have to provide the necessary safety tools. The simplest explanation I sometimes give to my colleagues back east about why crop insurance and why a safety net matters, so I simply say, when I started farming, all I had to do was provide all my tax returns, an accurate count of my livestock and my equipment to my banker. That isn't good enough anymore. You have to show that you're participating in the crop insurance programs, that you're availing yourself of every risk management tool. That has to be in the file. And it's not just because they want it. It's because the bank examiners demand it. All of you know that. They demand it. So those tools have to be there. And ultimately, who benefits? Every consumer in this country and on the whole planet. The whole planet. Yes, I get a little excited. But I'll make this pledge to you, and we might have time for one or two quick questions, but I'll make this pledge to you. As a product of a tough place to farm and ranch, as a product of, I'm very proud of my agricultural economics education at Oklahoma State University, as a product of my experiences in dealing with my legislators, colleagues, both at the state and the federal level, we'll do the right thing. And you remember back to that Representative Arms story about the wonders of doing good work in committee? I don't ever forget, the House of Representatives will chair this conference committee. I don't ever forget, the body that chairs the conference committee picks the base text. I don't ever forget, we're going to have a farm bill that all commodity groups and all regions can be a part of. And maybe the toughest part, the most challenging part, we're going to have a try to have a farm bill that lets producers make their decisions about how to utilize their resources in their best interest, in their family's best interest, and in the best interest of this country. I've spent enough time with the folks back east to know they're not qualified to tell you how to farm. No matter how, through so many things like conservation compliance and a variety of other issues, they want to tell you how to farm, they're not qualified to tell you how to farm and ranch. Maybe I'm idealistic. Maybe I'm old school. Maybe I'm a glutton for punishment. But we're going to get a farm bill we can live with, and it will establish the base concepts for years to come. Thank you very much. And before the first question comes in, the historic town meeting question always is, yes, I paid my income taxes last year and I married the same woman.